for you that I have placed you on. Run the race, run to win. Purpose in your heart that you will accomplish all that I call you to do. I will cause you to be a finisher in this race. Just seek my face, find your place, and have faith. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Heard this morning. You know, I wrote a phrase several months ago. And, you know, sometimes God gives me a theme ahead of time, but sometimes he gives it to me quickly. And, but I wrote this down, I don't know, several months ago. And I put, a giving revolution leads to a breakthrough blessing. How many want a breakthrough blessing?
Amen.
Amen? Oh, I want the breakthrough blessing. But in order, the doorway to get to the breakthrough blessing is a giving revolution. I want to start a revolution today. Amen?
Amen?
I want to start a giving revolution. Now, I'm not going to take up an offering today. But you know what? I want to encourage you and exhort you and lift you up. I want you to get so excited about giving that it gets in you. How many know when something gets in you, it'll come out of you?
Right.
Amen? We know what happens when beans get in you. Don't know why I said that, but it's... We all get the picture, don't we? When something gets in you, it'll come out of you. Amen? So I want to just share what God says about the wonderful opportunity that we have to give. See, this is not about giving or bringing your tithes, but this is to open your eyes to the true and genuine benefits that a person can receive from giving. And long time ago, I was infected by the giver. It occurred when I was 12 years old and I gave my heart to the Lord and he came into my life. And from that point on, something happened on the inside of me that I was willing to give of my time, my energy, my talents, and my resources. Whatever God wanted from me, I was willing to do, willing to give, willing to release from me into his kingdom. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts 20 and 35, the Bible says, I have showed you all things, how that, so laboring, you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that must have been a conversation that Paul had with Jesus. Because I don't find those words in there, but if Jesus said it, you know what that means? It's true. Let's say what Jesus said. Can we say what Jesus said? It is more blessed to give than to receive. I think we need to do that again. All right? Let's say what Jesus said. Just repeat after me. It is more blessed to give than to receive. All right? Did you know that giving benefits three people? It benefits God, it benefits the receiver, and it benefits the giver. So when you give, you're affecting more than just you. Amen? It supersedes time and space. Now, I want you to get excited about the opportunities that you have to give of yourself, your time, your talents, your energy, and your resources to God. Amen? How many know that if you're going to do something in life, you got to get excited about it? We don't really put a whole bunch of effort in things that we're not excited about. And I want you to get excited. And we're gonna gain excitement from the word today. We're going to see how giving can benefit you. Because really, we're still talking about sacrifices that pleases God. How many know sacrifices that pleases God involve giving? This is different. This is going to be a different message today. You know, giving for Christians should be a joyful opportunity to express their love for God and for people. It is an expression of our love. It is an expression of how we view those two groups of people. The Bible contains true and genuine benefits that every person can receive from giving. And God is pleased with your sacrificial giving. Now, first of all, I want to show you how much of a giver God is. All right? Let's go to John 3:16. John 3:16. So if God is a giver and we give, then guess what? We're being like him. We're imitating him. We're reflecting him. We're sharing in his nature. John 3:16, we could probably all quote this. It said, "For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Who did he give this gift to? He gave it to the world. Are we in the world? So he gave it to every person who's in this world. What kind of gift did he give? His only son. How many sons did he have? He only had one. Was it a good gift or a bad gift? Did it reflect God's best? Did it express his love? See, he did it because he loved one of us. He loved each and every one of us. For God so loved you that he gave. God loved you and he gave. He wanted to show you how much he loved you. He wanted to express his love for you. So he gave us the greatest gift of all. One writer said, this is an indescribable gift. God's gift is indescribable. Why? It is a gift that keeps on giving. Year after year, God gave you that gift, but it's continually giving you life. It's continually giving you help. It's continually giving you strength. It's continually giving you power. It's continually giving you direction. But I want you to see, for God so loved the world that he gave. Our God is a giver. Go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Jesus was having a conversation with a woman at a well in Samaria. Jesus answered her and said unto her, "If you knew the what? The gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." So God's gift to you is living water. It's a water that refreshes. It's a water that blesses. It's a water that cleanses. It's a water that gives life. It is living water. It's not just purified water. It's not sparkling water. It's living water. There's something about this water that when you take this water on the inside, it causes eternal life to bubble up from within. But he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who was talking to you, who was talking to her, the greatest giver of all time. Jesus was the greatest giver, and he was having a conversation with this woman. And he said, all you got to do to get this living water is ask, and I'll give it to you. Can I have some of this water? Here it is. He won't give you a glass. He'll give you a bucket. He'll give you a trough. And you know what? Here's the thing about living water. If you keep drinking from living water, it never runs out. There's never a shortage. There's never a lack of supply of living water. Living water is something that takes place in your soul. It bubbles up to eternity. Did you know that you have a fountain on the inside of you of living water? And anytime that you need life, you can drink from that. And living water is a gift that's given to us by God. Why? Because God is a giver. Amen? Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. I'm excited today. And believe me, I had a long weekend. There was a lot of things going on. Romans 6:23, the very last verse of this chapter. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you know that God's gift to us is eternal life? What is a wage? A wage is something someone earns. Sin, if you work for sin, you earn death. You're accumulating death if you work for sin. But the gift of God, see, God's gift to us is eternal life. What do you do with a gift? There's two things that you can do with a gift. Number one, you can give a gift, but number two, you can receive a gift. But God's gift to us is eternal life. You know what? You can't go to any store. You can't go to any online site. You can't go to any country to get this gift other than from God Himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. That gift is only found one. It is so valuable and so precious that there's only one store that you can get it from, and that's Heaven's department store. Why don't you just take an escalator up? Amen? But God's gift to us is eternal life. In other words, think about it this way. I'm going to use Kevin since he's right here. God loved you so much that He wanted you to live forever, so He gave you a gift of eternal life. And whether or not you receive it, that's up to you. The gift is still given. Did you know that God gave that gift? And there are many people who rejected that gift. He knew that there will be people who reject that gift. But you know what? Did that stop Him from giving? No. It did not stop God from giving. Why? God is a giver. Givers give. Amen? That's what givers do. It's the nature of a giver to give. And we have the greatest giver of all, Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Did you know that everything you have that's been given to you is a gift of God? Mm-mm-mm. Go to Romans chapter 8. Now, obviously, this is not a conclusive list, but this ought to be enough to stir some excitement on the inside of you. Because every one of us today are receivers that have been targeted by God, and He's given us the greatest gift of all. Salvation. Amen. Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us a few things? Oh, it didn't say a few things? Wait a minute, my Bible says all things too. I was just seeing if you're awake. This is so powerful. Listen, if God wasn't going to spare His Son, if God spared no expense in giving us His Son, what makes you think He's going to spare any expense in giving you anything else that He has available for you? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. All of us can benefit from this gift. how shall he not with him also freely, I love that word, freely give us all things. You know something about giving? Giving should be free and unrestricted. Why? Because it's just in the nature of a giver to give. Did God make a bargain with us? He said, I'll give you eternal life if you do this, 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 and this. He didn't say that, did he? Now, true, he does have commandments, and there's things that he wants us to do, but was his giving based on us doing his commandments? No. His giving was based on love. His giving was based on his nature. Freely give us all things. Freely. What did that cost you? I got it for free. How many know when you get something for free, I don't know, a free meal tastes better. Anybody ever experienced that? When someone buys you lunch and you didn't have to pay, boy, that meal just has a different taste to it. This meal just tastes better. What? It was freely given to you. Amen? Whoever bought that for you, they must like you or love you, or they just think highly of you. They just freely gave it to you. Now, I know that none of us would say, okay, I'll use Nelson now. Nelson, I'm going to take you out to lunch today, but I want you to take me out to lunch next week. That's not the nature of a giver. That's a manipulator. That's a manipulator. That's what the devil does. No, we're not into manipulation. We're into giving. Without restriction. Without limits. Why? Did you know that the greatest giver of all came to live inside of you? He brought his giving nature with him. He set up his giving room in your heart. Maybe some of us were stingy before we met Christ, and all of a sudden when he came in, our nature changed. I know it did with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And we know that everybody, even in their day, didn't like tax collectors. Right? Everybody despised tax collectors because in their day, not only would they take taxes for the Romans, but they'd take a little bit off the top for themselves. So if you owed $1,000, Zacchaeus would charge you $1,500. He'd give the $1,000 to the Romans, but he'd take the $500 for himself. That's what they did. But notice, when Zacchaeus met the giver was walking down by Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus said, I got to see this man. Now, Zacchaeus was a small guy, so what did he have to do? He had to climb a sycamore tree just in order to see Jesus. Listen, would you be willing to climb a tree just to see Jesus? And he saw Jesus, and Jesus walked right by him, and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, today I'm going to come over your house, paraphrase. And what did Zacchaeus do? Something happened to the stingy nature of Zacchaeus. He said, if I have wronged anybody, I will pay them back four times. All of a sudden, instantly, this man Zacchaeus, who was a greedy, stingy, selfish person, all of a sudden his nature changed. And he was willing, if he wronged anybody, not just pay you back, but four times. That's what the power of giving can do. Are you getting excited yet? Okay, that's a couple people. You know, if your favorite team just scored the winning point, how would you respond? Woo! Come on, you all know that. You get more excited about your favorite team than you do about God's word. Listen, we ought to find excitement. Are you getting excited yet?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. It's building. James 1:17. James 1:17. What am I talking about? Talking about that God is a giver. Every, I just repeated that three times for effect. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That word variableness means God doesn't change. If God gives Nadine a good gift, he's going to give Tony a good gift. He's going to give you a good gift. There's no variableness. And there's no shadow of turning. In other words, God's not going to say, I want you to have this. Oh, wait. I changed my mind. God doesn't do that to us. God didn't take away his son from the people who don't follow him. He gave him. Every good gift, every perfect gift has a source from above, comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Every good thing in your life was given to you by God. Every perfect thing in your life was given to you by God. But so many times we blame the bad things on God. Especially when someone dies. Why did God take them away? What makes you think God took them? Huh? Listen, God is not a thief. But the Bible does describe a thief. The Bible says that Satan is a thief who what? Who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, when someone dies as a believer, it's not that God took them, but he certainly receives them into his kingdom, into his home, right? He receives them. He welcomes them. But he's not the one who took them. Because God's not a thief. Nowhere in the Bible does it reflect God's nature as taking. But it reflects his nature as giving. I mean, think about this. Each one of us were a pile of dirt. We couldn't do anything, we couldn't say anything until God gave us his breath. But once he gave us his breath, we became a living soul. We were nothing until he breathed into us. God gave us his breath. He gave us our life. God's a giver. Every good and perfect gift. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Some of you are thinking, I didn't think giving could be so exciting. Say, Pastor, now you're reading my mail. Sorry. Just keep smiling and looking forward. And nobody know that I'm addressing you. Amen, Pastor. I better change. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, that's me. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith? You had faith in the grace of God, not of yourselves. It is what? It is the gift of God. So therefore, salvation is a gift of God. There is not one person that could work hard enough to earn their right to be saved. Salvation cannot be earned. Salvation cannot be bought. Scripture says if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul, he's gained nothing. You can't buy salvation. You can't earn salvation. You can't be good enough for salvation. There's not one person that could be good enough. Listen, if we could be good enough, we wouldn't have needed a Savior. But because God sent us a Savior, we weren't good enough. We needed someone to save us. So what did God do? God's gift to us was salvation. Freedom from hell. Freedom from destruction. When you get saved, you find your purpose. When you get saved, you find meaning in life. God gave us Jesus to save us from destruction. Salvation is a gift of God. Why? God is a giver. Would you say salvation is a good and perfect gift? Does salvation lack anything? Absolutely not. It is the best, most perfect gift you will ever receive. And guess what? It's a gift that you can help others receive too. You can give the gift of salvation away. Let me show you where I got this gift. Let me introduce you to the person who gave me this gift. He wants to know, you can know him too. So that you can know who gave you the gift too. What an incredible thing. Did you know that? Okay, that's some thoughts about how our God is a giver. You believe God is a giver? Did you know that giving has great benefits? Did you know that giving reduces stress? Giving supports physical health. Giving enhances your purpose. Giving fights depression. Giving increases your lifespan. Giving improves relationships. If a man likes a girl and a girl likes that man, what kind of gift is going to improve that relationship? Doesn't that gift improve the relationship? When a man gives the woman a ring, it improves the relationship. But giving has these benefits. Giving reduces stress. Why? We were coming here today, and I don't normally listen to this station, but I listened to a station on the way, and he was saying some good things. Suffering causes us to be self-focused. Giving causes us to focus on others. And when you're suffering, you're tempted to be depressed. But if you're giving, it fights depression, doesn't it? How many has ever felt good of a gift that you've given someone or something that you did? Let me see hands of you feeling better when you give it. Come on, that's proof right there that giving will enhance your life. If you're struggling, maybe you need to give. Maybe you need to give more. Could be your time, could be your energy, could be your resources. Whatever you need to give to make you feel better. Giving will make you feel better. Jesus said, according to Acts 20:35, it is more blessed. How many want to be more blessed? Which is more blessed, the giver or the receiver? The giver. Why? Because it has that effect on us. How many know that God was blessed when he gave us Jesus? Did you know that the gift that he gave to the world, he's still reaping benefits on that gift? What are the benefits? People are still coming into God's family. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. They're coming to know Jesus Christ as the true Savior. God is still reaping from the, he's still being blessed from the gift that he gave. One gift caused a perpetual blessing with God. That's powerful. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look at verse 7. Every man, is he talking to everybody or just a few? He's talking to everybody. According as he purposed in his heart. What's your purpose in giving? Who do you want to honor? Who ultimately do you want the gift? What do you want that gift to do? Do you want that gift to benefit you? Do you want to let that gift? I'm just saying, what's your purpose in giving? Did you know that God doesn't do things without purpose? Everything that God does is on purpose. Give as you purpose in your heart. I want to bless so-and-so. Well, then, that's a good purpose. Give that gift with that purpose in mind, just to bless so-and-so. Well, what if they don't say thank you? That doesn't matter. Your purpose is just to bless them. See, you've got to give according to your purpose. What's your purpose in giving? Why did God give Jesus? Why did God give the world Jesus? What was his purpose? The world needed to be saved. And the only way that God could have a relationship with us is by giving Jesus. That gift solved the world's greatest problem. Okay? As you purpose in your heart, listen, giving is a heart issue. If you give or you don't give, it's all related to your heart. If you give, you got a big heart. If you don't give, then there's a problem in your heart. Maybe you got some blockage in your heart. It's a heart issue. It's not an external issue. It's not an amount issue. It's a heart issue. Woman gave two mites. But according to Jesus, she gave all that she had. She didn't have any more. You know? But it was her heart. Giving is a heart issue. Let him give. Not grudgingly. Oh, do I have to give? Man, I wanted some new information. I came to VCF so I could get some deep revelation. I don't want to hear his message about giving again. Well, you're grudging. And if you give with that attitude, that gift won't produce anything for you. How many know when you give with a bad attitude, it affects the nature of the gift? Here, take it. It does something about, it diminishes that gift's return when you give with a bad attitude. So don't give grudgingly. You know here, we do not make a pull on people's emotions. Amen? I mean, we don't even pass a bucket. We have a container in the back. I leave that up to you. We don't put any pressure. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody to give this or that. That's not who we are. That's not who God is. Listen, giving is an act of faith. You either believe in the benefits or you don't. If you don't want to receive the benefits, then don't give. But if you want to receive the benefits, you got to give. That's how it works. Okay? All right, let's try to get through this verse here. Or of necessity, under compulsion. That's what I just talked about. I don't want you to feel like I'm forcing you to do anything. For God loves what? Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because God is a cheerful giver. Do you think when God and Jesus were having a conversation in heaven and God says, you know what, son, this world is in bad shape. I'm going to have to send you. He said, really, God? Do you think Jesus was sad about having to come and give his life to the earth? You know, do you think he left heaven? Wish I didn't have to do this, but I'm going to honor my father. I'm going to do it. He didn't leave heaven that way. Now, I know that sometimes what God asks of you, the reason it doesn't bring you cheer because it's a sacrifice. Abraham, I want you to give me your son. What? Say what, God? He didn't do that. What did he do? He gave his son. God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't cheer an attitude of the heart? Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because when you give, it's going to bring you joy. And joy is going to add to your cheer. Amen? It's just a snowball effect. Listen, the best thing to do when you're down in the dumps is find someone and help them. Do something for them. Give them something. Best way to get out of depression is to give something. Why? Because it will produce joy in your heart. There's an incredible outpouring of joy that floods your life when you give to people and you give to God. Giving brings out the joy in people. Are we not entering the greatest giving season of the year? Jesus' birth? What did God say? It'll bring joy to the earth. How many has experienced joy from knowing Jesus? Yes. Amen? Okay. Let's go to Luke 6:38. Did you know that God's giving produces dividends? How many know what a dividend is? A dividend is something you receive from investing in a company. There are companies that pay dividends. And when you buy their stock, at certain periods of the year, they pay you so much on each stock that you own. If you own 50 shares and their dividend is 50 cents, then you get 50 cents on every share. It's a dividend. It's something that you get back. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be what? Which comes first, the given to you or the giving? Giving comes first. God set that up on purpose. Why? God has given us everything he's going to give us as far as salvation in Jesus Christ goes. He's not going to send another son from heaven. He's not going to write another Bible. He's not going to give us another Holy Spirit. Okay, when I say that God's given us everything, I'm talking about those things. Everything that we need to succeed on earth, have victory on earth, is right here. Okay? God's not going to give us another Savior. There's not going to be another cross. There's not going to be another resurrection. All right? Give and it shall be given to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with it shall be measured unto you. Now, back in those days, men didn't dress like I do today. They had robes. And they would have they would fold up their robe like this. You know, ladies, if you have a dress or an apron, all right, maybe I should put an apron on to give you this visual effect. But when you put your apron out like this, you can really feel that thing full, can't you? And then you kind of shake it down a little bit, you know, so then you can put some more in. Then you kind of stuff it down a little bit more, and then you'll be like, you know, what? That's how God is talking. I want you to notice that your giving is returned to you four times. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, actually a fifth time, men will give into your bosom. So your gift is going to at least give you five times more than what you gave. Can you see that? Hallelujah. So this giving it's liberal. All right? Let me break this down a little bit. When you put good measure, they'll give you good measure or a full measure. Okay? Press down. If you had some figs or some grapes, you could press them down that you could put more into the measure. All right? So then your measure increases. Okay? Shaken together to make it more compact and thus to give more. Now, let me tell you something. We do this with a trash bag all the time. How many know? When it's time to take the trash out, you take that bag out of the can. You say, can I put some more in it? What do? You stuff that down. You shake that bag so you can put more trash into that. Come on, we all do that. I do it too. I try to get as much in that trash bag so it's so hard to carry that at least I got all the I'm only interested in making one trip with trash. I don't want to make two or three or four trips. I want to make one trip. So I'm going to stuff that bag as full as I can without breaking. Because if I take that bag out and it breaks, it's going to. Now, we do that with the trash, but we don't do that with a good gift. But God will take your gifts that you give, whatever that gift is, time, talent, resource, doesn't matter. He'll take that gift and, okay, God get you give a gift to God. God receives it. He takes that gift. He stuffs the return. He shakes the return. And you get a whole lot more in the return than he got in the gift. But that is the nature of God. See, the nature of a giver is to multiply. Givers multiply. Little boy had a lunch. Jesus is preaching. Over 5,000 people in attendance. Jesus said, they're hungry. You need to feed them. The disciples said, huh? You know, when God asks you to do something that you think is impossible, that's your response, huh? So, one of the disciples said, well, we have this much money, but that's, you know, that's not enough to buy everybody a meal. Well, I have this little boy and his lunch. Bring him to me. Little boy takes his fish lunch that he just got from Long John Silver's. It was actually the value meal. He presents it to Jesus. What does Jesus do? Jesus takes that gift. He receives it from the little boy. And what does he do? He feeds the multitude with it. He took that little lunch, and that little lunch, he kept reaching in and getting out a piece of fish, piece of fish. He told people, take as much as you want. People ate from that little boy's lunch until they were satisfied. Then God took some baskets. And he shook the baskets, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running 12 baskets the disciples collected in return from one little boy's lunch. Was that a good return? See, this is what giving does. Giving gives you dividends. When you give to God, he'll receive it, he takes it, he multiplies it back unto you. This is why you can't outgive God. This is why you can't beat God given. This is why when the nature of the giver gets on, you get so excited at every opportunity that you have to give. Because you know that the return is so far greater than the gift. Can you say amen? Is this good preaching? Is this in the Bible? Okay, just keep me in track, you know. Don't take my word for it. Look in the Bible, see if it's in there. Did you know that giving requires a total selfless act of the will? It is our natural tendency after the fall to live selfish, closed-fisted lives. Isn't that true? But when we get a hold of some money, we want to close our fist around it and not let it go to satisfy our fleshly nature and just to be selfish, because it's just the nature of the flesh, the fallen flesh. Did you know that our flesh is fallen? Our flesh is fallen until Jesus comes and he's going to give us an upgrade. And this corruption is going to put on incorruption, and we're going to be changed, and we're going to be just like Jesus. But until that time comes, your flesh is going to stand in the way of a lot of blessings that God wants to give you. Your flesh is going to argue with you. Don't do that. Are you sure you want to do that much? You want to give what? This is the reaction of how our flesh does. Because that's just the nature of the flesh. We've all been there. When your wife says, Lord, I want to add another zero. And the honey says, say what? Another zero? It's just the nature of the flesh. So giving is a selfless act of the will. In other words, you can override your flesh. You do not have to live by the dictates of your flesh. All of you got up this morning. You override the dictates of your flesh, didn't you? I know some of you, I know there's probably a percentage in this room that your flesh was saying, oh, do I have to get up? Do you have to get up? Do you have to go there? You know, your flesh was talking to you, but you override your flesh. You got up, you put on your clothes, and you made it here. Amen? You override your flesh, so that tells me that we have the ability to override our flesh. We can choose to live by the Spirit. As we mature in our walk with Christ, we should be allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of our money. We should be relaxing our selfish hands and allowing God to use us as givers and not just receivers or takers. How many like a mooch? You know what a mooch is? You know, someone, they don't give you anything, but they're taken. You know, they're taking your time. There's moochers, there's joy suckers. I mean, we got a lot of different people like that that just steal those things from us, right? You ever been around a person that just steals your joy? After an hour with that person, you feel more depressed than when you started with that person. That's a joy stealer, right? So as we walk with Christ, our giving should increase, not decrease. Has God decreased his giving? You know, does God ration out his healing? Okay, I'm going to give you 10%. I'll give you 10%. You know, I'll give you 20%. He doesn't ration out his healing. Why? He's the healer. Does God ration out his joy? Okay, only 50% of you today are going to get filled with joy. That's all I have. You know, you will never hear God saying that he has a shortage. Matter of fact, David said in Psalm 23, he anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. God intended for his cup to run over. God planned for his cup to run over. God's nature is for your cup to run over. Your cup is too small. You need it to run over. Why? A running over cup affects more than you. If your cup is full, you're blessed, but when your cup is running over, others around you are blessed as well. So God wants to overflow. You know, having a return on giving is a universal law that God instituted in his kingdom. He told Noah, he said, as long as the earth remains, there'll be what? Seed time and what? Seed time, harvest. Seed time, harvest. You can't have a harvest without a seed, and you need a seed to get a harvest. It's a perpetual principle that the kingdom of God is based on. It's a universal. When I say universal, it applies to everybody. All right? Hallelujah. Let's go back here. Let's go to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And you know what today? I'm going to even give you a gift. I'm going to finish early today. Now, you know, if you've been here for a while, that's a miracle. At least we didn't have anybody fall out the balcony and die and have to resurrect him and still keep preaching. That happened in the New Testament there. Psalm 104 and verse 27 to 30. Look at these verses here. These wait all upon you that you may give them their meat in due season, that you givest them, they gather. You open your hand, they are filled with good. Oh my goodness. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. But I want you to see that God is in heaven with an open hand. He's got an open hand. When an open hand, it's easy to give and it's easy to receive. If Gabriel needed money for anything and I had it, I would say, "Here, son." I would give it to him with an open hand. Why? Because it shows freedom that I'm giving it to him, and it shows the easy access that it is for him to receive it. How many, when you got an open hand, it's so easy to receive. And God is in heaven with his hands open to you. He gives you food. He gives you breath. Now, if God was to hide his face from us for anything, we'd die. But God is not up there playing hide and seek. He's up there continuing to give what he said. Being a giver is extremely satisfying. And did you know that your giving helps build God's kingdom? See, your giving, it builds God's kingdom. If you're going to build a house, it takes money. Well, how about a kingdom? If you're going to build a kingdom, it takes money. But when you give your money to God, he will take it, he'll multiply it, he'll press it down, shake it together, and he'll cause it to run over on you. Go to... Okay, I'm going to finish. Go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And did you know that part of your giving, it actually goes into a heavenly account where it says, put your treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't get into. Some of the giving that you do, it actually goes to your heavenly account, and you may not reap it now, but you're going to reap it then. Can you imagine getting to heaven and saying, and God says, come on, my son, come on, my daughter. Look at the account that I've established, that I've opened up for you. And you look at the amount that was in there. You'd be like, whoa. You know, it's like a Christmas club. You keep putting money in a Christmas club. And when it's time to take it out, you had a little bit more than what you put in, right? You earned a little bit of interest. In today's banks, it's really a little bit of interest. But at least it's a little bit of interest. It's better than nothing, right? And you go there and you say, I want to withdraw my Christmas club. And you're like, wow, that's in there. And you begin to think of all the gifts that you can buy for people, right? Because that's what the whole purpose was it for. So Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Well, let's go to verse 10, and I'm going to close. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. If you want $1 million and you're not faithful with 1,000, you're not going to get the million. In order to get the million, you got to be faithful with 1,000. Is that Bible? Is this scripture? And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You know, people say, man, Pastor, when I win the lottery, I'm going to give it to you. I guarantee you, if they're not giving it to me now, they're not going to give it to me then. And, I use me, but I'm not saying give it to me. You know what I'm saying? Everybody understand, right? I mean, I'm not going to say that. Verse 11, this is where the rubber meets the road right here. If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, that word mammon is a word for money. If you haven't been faithful in money, Who will commit to your trust the true riches? What are the true riches? It's the God's word. It's revelation knowledge. So if you're not faithful in money, God, you're not going to get any revelation. Uh-oh. You mean money has that much of an effect? Well, giving does. And here's the thing. Here's what I want you to get out of this today. This is not a, like I said, this is not a plea to take an offering, but I want you to give yourself to the Lord. I want you to commit yourself to the Lord that God has your availability. Are you available when God calls, when he wants to move, when he wants to touch, when he wants to minister? Are you available that God can use you? In order to do that, you have got to give yourself completely over to God. You have got to make a decision that you're removing all barriers from whatever God asks or whatever God wants or whatever God calls you to do. And you're just simply coming before God and you're saying, God, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be. I want you to give yourself over to God today. Amen? I want you to give yourself wholly, your entire being, your spirit, soul, and body. All that you are, all that you have, I want you to give it as a tool in God's hands. The master craftsman. I want you to be a vessel of honor, meet for his use, prepared unto every good work. For some, that just simply means you're drawing closer to God. For some, that means you're kicking it up a notch. You're doing something, but you know that you could do more, and God's calling you to do more. And you're simply answering that call by saying, I want you to come today and I want you to yield yourself before God. Because the greatest gift that you can give to God is you entirely. Don't keep back a part of your life from God. If you're hurting, give your hurts to God. If you're bruised, give your bruises to God. If your life is in a mess, give your mess to God. He's the only one that can clean it up. He's the only one that can heal you. He's the only one that can change it. But it's going to require of giving of yourself to God. The greatest gift that you can give to God is giving yourself to God. There was a church. If you read 1 Corinthians 8, it talks about the churches in Macedonia. They gave in hard times, they gave when it was difficult, and they gave in abundance because you know what they first did? They gave themselves over to the Lord. So I want you to be a tool in God's hands. And whatever he asks of you, whatever he requires of you, whatever he wants to do, I just simply want you to be a willing vessel that will put no limits on what God asks you to do. Amen? Are you ready to take the limits off today? Are you ready to have a breakthrough blessing by means of a giving revolution? Let's have a giving revolution today. I want to start a revolution. Amen? I want to stomp lack and debt and shortage out of your house, out of your family. Amen? It starts with you. It starts with your action. I'm calling for people, whoever you may be, to come and give yourselves over to God completely. Just to surrender to his will, to answer his call, to make yourself available to God and do what he wants to do. God's anointing, you know, it's just a matter of coming and making, you say, when you come today, you're saying, God, I'm available to you. I'm yours. Whatever you want to do, however you want to move through me, I'm yours. That's all you're saying today. You're surrendering completely to God. I'm giving you. And if that's you, if the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, I want you to come right now. Father, I thank you for moving on the hearts of the people here. by your Holy Spirit.
Giving you my dreams. I'm laying down
Lord, just the simple answering of a call.
I'm giving up my
making a commitment.
For the promise
maybe renewing
of
a commitment.
New life.
Maybe just simply drawing near.
And
I tell you what, life is harder away from God. It's much better when you're closer to God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving and working and revealing and blessing in the name of Jesus. If there is any selfishness in you, you need to surrender it to God today.
I'm singing you this song. I'm waiting at the cross.
Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We're going to start praying right here. Oh, Father, just fill her right now with everything that she needs. In Jesus' name. Oh, just let your love, Father, take her to the next level. In Jesus' name.